tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Hello, everyone. I hope everyone today is having a wonderful day. I hope you all are. You know what I mean? Before I get started, I want to say something, right? I want to say rest in peace to Dolly Parton. And I don't know if I said it last week. I'm going to say it again if I said it. Also, rest in peace, Hayden Panettiere. Dolly Parton, you know what I'm saying, was a very iconic soul. I don't care what race, gender, where you come from. If you know who Dolly Parton was and the type of person she was, everybody loved her. Doesn't matter your race. Everybody loved Miss Dolly Parton, man. She will be missed. You know, Hayden Panettiere, I remember her, right? I've got a lot of movies. I've seen her in the TV show Heroes, which was a great show. Nashville, I love those shows I've seen her in. But her most memorable show to me was Remember the Titans. Man, that little 9-year-old, 10-year-old girl, man. Right? Little sassy self. Playing the coach's daughter. And she knows about football like, damn. You know what I mean? She killed it in that damn part. Damn, man. She will be missed too, man. She will definitely be missed. And she was really on her way of becoming very iconic. You know what I mean? We in the black community, right? There are a few white actors that we don't play about, that we love, right? Let's name a few. Of course, Dolly Parton, Hayden Panettiere, although she's very young, Hayden Panettiere. You know what I mean? I know, especially like a lot of young black females in her age group, when they saw her in Bring It On, because I would see it online how a lot of them loved her in Bring It On, right? From my generation, from back in the day, people like Golden Horn, you know what I'm saying, that we love in the black community. Meg Ryan, that's another actress that we love, right? And our favorite is Sharon Stone, man. Who don't remember Sharon Stone in that movie, the early 90s movie, in Basic Instinct, the damn scene that with the police detective, right? You know what I mean? Those iconic actors we love, you know what I'm saying? And we revered them, right? And we don't play about those people. We don't play about them, point blank, right? Know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So Hayden Panettiere and Dolly Parton, may you rest in peace. May you rest in peace. All right. Now on to the show. Let's get on to the show right now. James Baldwin. Let's see now. Where am I at? Okay, so James Baldwin once said, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. And I brought the quote up, you know, man, I heard a quote a few weeks ago, right? I'm like, man let me look it up, right? And so I had to talk about it because when I see what's going on today, right? With what Donald Trump is doing in the with his administration, right? When it comes to all these voting crap, what's going on with Canada? You see what I'm saying? Why are we doing trade war with Canada? Anyway, our closest allies. I don't understand it, right? Beef price, according to him. We gonna get beef from overseas when a lot of the farmers are here in America. What's going on, man? Those are right. And when I see a lot of these Republicans, man, these Republicans, they're just afraid of Donald Trump. They are afraid of his wrath, I should say. Because I guess whenever they go against Donald Trump, they do their best to, he does his best to try to primary his opponents, right? His Republican people that goes against him. You know, I have a lot of issues with that, right? To me, if you're doing your job as a politician, right, you would worry about if the president is going to try to primary you. That means you suck at the job. Let's be real about this stuff, right? Because if you're living in a damn a district, no matter how much they love Donald Trump, if those people receive results and you was with the damn people, you go actually be with the people as much as you can by talking to them, having town hall meetings all the time, you wouldn't be worried about getting primaried. Point blank. If you're having meetings and being with the people, right, no matter what Donald Trump tried to do, it would never work. That's why they are afraid, because they're not doing the job. They're getting paid the big bucks up there in Capitol Hill. The big bucks they're getting paid, and no results. You understand what I'm saying, right? Sometimes we hear about how when black people say, "Hey, black folks, what has the Democratic Party has done for black people in the past 70 years, right? What has the Democratic Party have done for black folks, right?" And there could be an argument to be made. But how about the Republicans, the poor Republicans, right? What has the Republican Party done for them too? Even let's say the past 70 years, right? What has the Republican Party done for them? Think about it. Because they still have a lot of poor damn Republicans out there in the trailer park, right? The neighborhood look jacked up. And I'm going to be honest with you right now, man. Sometimes, you know, especially when I had my last job in Georgia, when I used to drive around, right? I did like 1,000 miles a week. Every week I'm driving at least 1,000 miles. And I go to a lot of black neighborhoods, all right? Poor black neighborhoods. I drive to a lot of poor white neighborhoods, man. And I see a lot of those white neighborhoods with Donald Trump's sign, right? With Donald Trump's sign in the diagonal hanging up. Right? But when you look on the houses, some of their houses look run down. Run down, right? The streets are jacked up. See what I'm saying? I've seen it all, man. I'm not saying black neighborhood is perfect. The same thing in the black neighborhood too, right? Some of the houses do look run down too, right? You see what I'm saying? I always say this, right? If you're poor, you should never be a Republican. You should never be a Democrat. Let them middle class people deal with it, or rich people deal with that shit. Right? I believe if you're poor, you should be independent. That's how I feel. You know what I mean? That means one election cycle, you vote Democrat. One election cycle, you vote Republican. You know what I mean? Because I would never say, because I've been voting Democrat, right? But I would never say that I would never vote Republican. I just have not seen that one Republican candidate that said, "Oh man, I'll vote for that person." You understand what I'm saying though, right? Yeah. So, I would never say I'll never vote, because who knows, man? Especially in politics, things shift. You know what I mean? There's one time more black people were Republican. And you see what happened back in the 60s, how a lot of them switched to Democrats. You see what I'm saying, right? You know, yeah, so, I would never really say that. But the reason why I brought up this James Baldwin quote, though, right? Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. Let's talk about the New Deal, right? The New Deal and who benefited, right? So let me read it for you, right? The New Deal. The New Deal refers to the programs and reforms created primarily under President Franklin D. Roosevelt, beginning in 1933 in response to the Great Depression. These programs transformed American government. The New Deal included banking reforms employment programs, Social Security, infrastructure projects, and other efforts designed to stabilize the economy. Okay, now, back then, right, where did Black America fit in, right? So Black Americans did benefit from various New Deal programs. However, some important programs did not initially cover large categories of workers. The original 1935 Social Security system excluded agricultural and domestic workers, right? Think about it. Excluded agricultural and domestic workers. That had an especially large effect on Black workers because approximately 65% of employed African Americans were working in agricultural or domestic occupation around this period, right? So did Roosevelt deliberately exclude Black people from Social Security? That's the question, right? 65% of Black agricultural workers and domestic workers, right? You know what I'm saying? Were excluded from there. Okay. So the Social Security Administration's own historical analyst says the occupational exclusions disproportionately affected African Americans, but dispute the argument that racial exclusion was reason those particular Social Security provisions were written that way, right? So government policies can be written without explicitly saying Black people cannot participate and still produce dramatically different effects because people don't begin from identical economic circumstances, right? So now, with the James Baldwin quote, not everything that it faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced, right? So what I'm saying is though, right, the President Roosevelt at the time, he created this big stuff because the Great Depression was going on, prohibition, you know what I'm saying? All that stuff, right, was going on at the time. So he created a New Deal. And the New Deal is supposed to affect, right, all Americans, not only white Americans, right? So I know back then Congress knew what was going on because they all know, act like, sometimes they act like they don't know what's going on, but they know what's been going on, right? And of course, government policies is not gonna say, oh, Black people, you can't, you know what I'm saying? Because that'd be unconstitutional, right? But they can still do it a way where Black people do not benefit. And I feel as though that the government, they knew what was going on, Black people were hurting, struggling and hurting, and they did nothing. Right? Both Republicans and Democrats, they did nothing. They just let Black people suffer. You know what I mean? Right? Nothing can be, will not change until you face things, until you face it head on. You know what I mean? Until you face it head on. Nothing at all, like I said, right? Right? Not everything that is faced can be changed. Right, so now everything that you face, that you face towards, right, could be changed because sometimes some things are just all your hands, right? But nothing can be changed until it is faced. Nothing, remember that, nothing can be changed until you face it head on, right? At least try, do your best and try to change it, right? But back then, they didn't care about how Black people felt if they were going hungry. They did not care, you know, you understand that, right? The only thing that I feel though that they, you know what I'm saying, they probably care about is themselves. Because the government, they're in office, making good money. They're making good money. And while other people are suffering, right? But also, I'm gonna tell you this too. Whenever the policy that's written, right, that also affect Black people, they're also gonna affect poor white people too. It will. You're not going to just trickle down just to Black folks alone. You understand me? Even poor white people is going to feel the effect. No matter how much they try to deny it, even poor white folks is going to affect. Right? When black people are better off in America, white people is going to be better off. Trust me. You understand? Because they can't create laws trying to hurt black people. And then it don't affect white folks in some way. It will. It will. Look at today, when there's a lot of poor people who are uninsured. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got policies right there. You know what I mean? Uninsured. Black folks, white folks, uninsured. So whatever affects black people, will affect white folks, right? If something good come out of the policies that the government creates, like let's say affirmative action from back in the days, that's gonna help white people too, especially white women, right? And older white Americans. You understand that, right? It's gonna help you too. Trust me. When all these laws started creating to protect the elderly and the disabled, you know what I mean? That affect everybody. But if you don't face it, right, head on, sometimes we have to talk about the uncomfortable truth, man. Whether it's uncomfortable or not, sometimes we need to talk about it. We need to discuss these things. We need to discuss them. That's how changes will happen in America. You know what I mean? When I think about America and the world, America once, I gotta be honest right now, America once used to set the standard of what society should be, right? But me personally, I see America going into a different type of direction, man. It's a different type of direction. It's not, to me, right, we're not the gold standard anymore. We're losing it, man. You know what I'm saying? Donald Trump be saying, oh, all these countries envy us. These countries don't envy us. They don't give a damn. You know what I mean? They're laughing at us. Right now, we are the laughing stock of the world. Things going on. We are the livestock stock right now. You know what I'm saying? America's supposed to be the greatest country in the damn world. It's supposed to be. But yet, our damn our economy right now, they added $40 trillion to them economy. $40 trillion, right? Since he became president, I think he added about $8 trillion to it, right? To already high economy, right? It's very high right now. You know what I mean? Freaking cost of living is going up. Gas prices right now, at least here in Colorado, is $4.24. Imagine what it is in California. Again, the gas price is probably like $5-$6 in California right now. You know what I mean? I remember just a year and a half ago, gas prices were less than $3 a gallon. You know what I mean? I got a mid-sized pickup truck. If I'm down on E, it'll cost me about $64 to fill my tank. When before, it cost me like $50-something. See, my wife, her truck, $90 to fill her damn tank up. Shoot. And she worked 45 minutes away from home. So imagine how many times a week she got to fill her damn tank up. You see what I'm saying? It's crazy to me. Right? All things are going. Things are not going in the good direction. You know what I mean? So Donald Trump, he said this, that I'm going to fix the economy on day one. He said it. He's going to fix it on day one. Right? When we see Joe Biden, that's why the Democrats lost the damn election, because they were trying to gaslight people, man. right? They think people are dumb. I keep saying it over and over. These politicians think you, the voter, are stupid, man. Right? When you're feeling things in your pocket. When you're feeling those rough things in your pocket, right? And you're feeling in your pocket. You know what I'm saying? You got a family of four, and you spend all the extra money on groceries, man. You know what I mean? Come on. Let's be real. And I see this administration doing the same thing. Oh, everything's so great here. We're doing great. You know what I'm saying? Only thing Donald Trump talk about how the stock market is doing good. Yeah, stock market is doing good for him and the rich people. Not for us. Right? We poor people don't give a damn about the stock market. And we can't even afford to feed our family. Right? But those Republicans are not saying nothing. Right? They're not facing the uncomfortable truth. They're not facing it, man. I'm telling you. All they care about is staying in power. They don't care about you, man. Right? Same people. Let's talk about people like in all the red states. Kentucky, South Carolina, Mississippi, right? Alabama, Florida. I'm telling you, man. Those Republicans that y'all love so much, right? They don't give a damn about you, man. All they care about is staying in power. That's all they care about. Because right now, just look at your lives right now. All you red lovers, just look at your lives right now. And tell me, how's your life doing? You vote for these people like DeSantis. But yeah, you're still struggling. You know what I mean? You can't even find yourself a good paying job. You're still working at Walmart. Damn cashier making just barely above minimum wage. You see what I'm saying? You apply for different jobs, but you can't find the damn jobs. Come on. Let's talk about it. Let's have a conversation about it. These are the type of conversations that we need to have. What has those Republicans done for you? They're like, oh, black people say, what have Democrats done for the black people? White folks, what have those Republicans that you love so much done for you? Huh? Still struggling. You still live in the damn trailer park. You can't make the damn money, right? Some of y'all are still on SNAP benefits. Which is okay. If you need it, that's fine. You know what I mean? SNAP benefits getting dependent on the damn government. You know what I mean? I'm not judging. If you need it, because I do believe if we pay taxes in this country, right, citizens need to be taken care of, man. Point blank. I believe that. On a temporary basis, though. Not for 20 freaking years. 10, 15 years, no. Unless you have a disability, a permanent disability or something. See what I'm saying? You're still on their benefits, right? You're still collecting a check from the government. Daycare is very high. You got 4 and 5 damn kids, right? Young children under the age of 10. And I'm talking to you Republicans, you white Republicans, right? 4 or 5, I've seen it. 4 or 5 children, 4 or 5 children under the age of 10. And you can't afford daycare. You know what I mean? Your daddy, the damn daddy of those kids done left. The daddy, the drug addict. Come on, let's be honest. Come on, white folks in the trailer park. Let's talk about it. Right? Like, I've seen this shit. You know what I'm saying? The daddy, you know, probably on methamphetamine, cocaine, crack, whatever. Not taking care of his damn kids. You see what I'm saying? And you have to fend for yourself, mothers, white moms, which I love every single one, everybody, you know what I'm saying, right? And it's not a race thing. I just want y'all to open up your eyes. But you're still going to go out there and vote for this one person, for this person that's been in power for 20 years and that have not done nothing for you in your district, right? This president of the United States, you're doing everything, but they're not fighting for you. The silly-ass dude, Rick Jackson, a billionaire now. Now, this dude is rich. wealthy white man, Rick Jackson out of Georgia. He's running for governor of Georgia right now, right? Against Keisha Lance Bottom, right? From the Democratic Party, Keisha Lance Bottom. Rick Jackson is from the Republican Party. And you know, in one of his campaign, he says that he will be Donald Trump's favorite governor. That should tell you every damn thing, people. I know some of y'all love Trump, but Trump do not love you back. When will y'all get that shit in your head, man? He does not love you back. He said he'll be Donald Trump's favorite governor. That means he's going to do anything Donald Trump tells him to do, even if it hurts Georgia. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to fight back. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a fan of Brian Kemp. Trust me, I'm not a fan. I wish Stacey Abrams would have won. I voted for Stacey Abrams when I lived in Georgia, right? But I do give him respect, because one time he fought against Donald Trump. He did. You see what I'm saying? No, he's term limited now, but at least one time he fought against Donald Trump. I don't know, because I think it was a voting thing or whatever. You know what I mean? But at least he fought against Donald Trump publicly, which I love him for that. You know what I mean? And he did do a few good things for Georgia, like when I was there, no tax on gas. That's pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Something else he did, a few other things that he did that I actually like. You know what I'm saying? I can give Republicans credit when they do positive things. You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you, man. Right? When these people are facing the harsh truth, man, you're going to left suffering, because those damn politicians, they're living good. They got good health care. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, look at Mitch McConnell right now. Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, senator of Kentucky. He's been missing over a month and a half. The Republicans not saying nothing. We don't know if the man is dead or alive. And guess what? He's still getting paid. I want you to think about this, right? Think about this. Back in 1993, when Bill Clinton was president, Mitch McConnell voted against the Family Medical Leave Act, or something like that, right? That give you, if you go, like, for example, if you have a surgery, you know what I'm saying? You still get paid for like a certain amount of time. Well, while you're recovering, right? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if the government paid or the job, whatever. But anyway, he voted against that crap. Thank God it passed. But he voted against it. And look at him now, right? Look at Mitch McConnell now. Missing in action. And none of these Republicans aren't saying nothing at all publicly. Not everything that is faced can be changed. But nothing can be changed until it is faced. You understand that? Nothing can be changed until it is faced, man. I'm telling you, people, we need to start thinking better, man. We need to start thinking better and do better, right? Sometimes we vote for them. Like Americans, like we are glutton for punishment, man. I don't get it. You see what I'm saying? Y'all vote for, y'all keep voting for the same old type of people. No, not they not do nothing. You know what I'm saying? Sidebar for a second. Jamaica, same shit. Michael Manley, back in the early 70s, 1972, when he came prime minister of Jamaica in 1972. He loved what Cuba was doing with their socialist ideology, right? Democratic socialists. So he decided to adopt that into Jamaica, and that ruined Jamaica. Because before that, Jamaica was a thriving island, probably one of the richest islands in the Caribbean, right? And socialism doesn't work. And I wonder how many people in parliament in Jamaica didn't say nothing. They didn't say nothing, right? They just let it happen. You know what I mean? And because of that his policies, Jamaica became more violent. You know what I mean? The 1976 election, people getting hung alive. the 1980 election, people getting unalive. And guess what? Well, once he left power after Edward Sciaga beat him in 1980 to become prime minister, he came back into power again in 1989. Although he did left the socialist ideology alone, though. But the damage had already been done. And people still put the man back in power. Knowing what he did back in the 70s. You see what I'm saying? People still put the man back in power. I don't give a damn if you change. You know, you don't ruin my damn life. And you expect for me to vote for you again? But people still put the damn man back in power. Seems like we are voters, man. We keep gloves over damn punishment. Because we know the politicians, they lie. But you could know by their actions, right? How they are. But you still keep voting for these damn people. The same people, they're not going to make your life better. You know what I mean? And Parliament, Congress, whatever you want to call it, they sit by with a blind eye and don't say nothing. They just let it happen. You see what I'm saying? Because Jamaica is a democracy, just like America, right? Things that, like Congress vote on, Parliament vote on too. You see what I'm saying? Right? It's a democracy. And even right now, to this day, Jamaica is still feeling the after effects of the 70s, man. I'm gonna tell you how crazy it was in Jamaica at one point, through the 70s and the 80s. If you're gonna vote, right, and somebody could come up to you and say, "Who are you voting for?" Let's try to be friendly. Who are you voting for? And if you say the wrong party, they'll pull out a gun and murder you. That's how Jamaica was back then. They literally unalive you because they don't like who you're voting for. Crazy to me. And I see now this administration, they want to put people like the Proud Boys in these voting booths. Why certain people talk about the National Guards in these voting booths. Imagine if that continues every election cycle, right? From now on. Eventually, there's going to be a lot of bloodshed on both sides, right? America, to me, is leading towards those third world type of country by the thinking. I'm telling you, man. Trust me. I remember one time, this was in the 90s. My father, you know, he was an avid reader. Read a lot, newspaper, books, whatever. And one time he said, "Valentine, one day, America will not be a superpower no more." Right? He read like an article about it. And he said, "One day somebody will come along and ruin this country," basically. And I'm paraphrasing. Somebody will come along and ruin this country. Right? When you think of Rome, Rome once was powerful. Look what happened to Rome. When we think about England, ruled them in the whole world at one point, or half the world. England is superpower no more. Look at Russia. Once powerful, right? Russia ain't really that damn powerful anymore, like it once was. You see what I'm saying? Because they take sometimes they grab these damn leaders, and then let's say Congress or whatever, you right? They allow these people to do whatever they want instead of checking them. You know what I mean? And I just don't understand, right? Like a lot of these people that's in Congress, a lot of them are lawyers. A lot of them are business people. So a lot of them don't care because they know they're getting tax cuts and all kinds of stuff for their things. You know what I mean? And believe this or not, India might be the next superpower. According to my father, that's what he told me back in the 90s, right? India might be the next superpower. Look what you see in places like Silicon Valley, besides just white folks. You see a lot of Indians, right? In those places, those tech people. You know what I mean? You don't think those people is working here in America and try to send money, especially if they grew up in India, and send money back home to fix up their country or the hood? You don't think so? Okay. keep being blind. Right? Right now we're so America's so damn cocky. You know what I'm saying? The only thing that we got going for us right now is our military. That's it. That's what we have going for us right now. It's our damn military. But imagine if somebody break all that military, imagine what could happen. I hope it doesn't happen. I love this country. And I love what I built here. And I don't want nothing crazy to happen. Okay, let's go on to the next topic. Wilmington, North Carolina. Right, let me drink some water first. Wilmington, North Carolina. 1898. This is what happened. This is one of the most important events in American history that many Americans were never taught. Never taught this because I don't teach that in school, right? They're trying to hide the truth from people. On November 10th, 1898, white supremacists in Wilmington, North Carolina, carried out violence against the black community and overthrew the city's local government. Wilmington had significant black political and economic power. Black men served in public office, worked as police officers, and operated businesses. There was also a black-owned newspaper called the Daily Record, edited by Alexander Manley. So, Republicans and populists had formed a political coalition known as the Fusion Movement. That interracial political cooperation threatened white Democratic political leaders who wanted to regain control. Well, they did. A white supremacy political campaign followed, right? Propaganda, intimidation, and racial fears were used to mobilize white voters, right? Racial fears. Because one thing they were afraid of is black people getting power. You know what I mean? This right there, right here, remind me of the Bacon Rebellion of 1676. You go look it up, Bacon Rebellion, right? So an armed white mob burned the offices of the Daily Record. Violence spread through the black community. Black residents were killed. Others fled. Local government officials were forced to resign. White supremacist leader Alfred Moore Waddell became mayor. Right? Why the coup? Right? Why coup matter? Why coup matter? Because this was the only coup that really happened in American history. Right? North Carolina itself not officially described what happened as a massacre and coup d'etat. The state's historical accounts says the official 2006 investigation concluded that as many as 60 black people may have been killed, although the exact number remains uncertain. Okay, so this wasn't simply black people and white people fighting each other. It was political power that was involved, right? People who already had political representation were violently removed from power. That distinction makes Wilmington extraordinary. Think about it, right? Those white folks over there, the poor white people over there, they were like, look at them N-words. Look at them. They think they're better than us. I'm saying they got their own little business. No, I guess they were talking amongst each other, drinking their liquor, having their guns in their hand. Right? I could just imagine that in my head right now. Having their guns in their hand, cocking the damn gun. I said, look at those. I'm going to say it anyway. Excuse my language, but I'm going to say it. Look at them niggas. The thing is so special. Right? The whole damn government office. I have no little business being cops over there. Who don't niggas think they are? Man, we need to organize something to get rid of them niggas. I'm telling you, man. To get rid of them. And that's what they did. They organized the mob. They lied to white folks, right? And I guarantee back then, the average white people probably didn't care. You know what I'm saying? Because I guarantee their power was being taken care of by the black leadership back then. Because think about black folks, right? When they gain power, like in, I would say 90% of the time, right? Don't give a damn if you're black or white. They're going to take care of you. They will. Black people will do the job and take care. They don't give a damn about your race. Because a lot of us black people, especially when we're in certain positions, a lot of us are happy, and we're not going to do, most of us are not going to do things to try to ruin that position, right? So guess what? They're going to take care of people, most black folks, right? So these people decided to organize the damn mob and get the damn mob to come and kill all the black folks. That's a serious stuff. And guess what, though? Let me say this again, right? Not everything that is faced can be changed. But nothing can be changed until it is faced. Nothing can be changed until it is faced, right? What did the federal government do? Nothing. They allowed those white folks to come and seize power. The federal government did not do nothing. You see, you know what I mean? They did not do nothing at all. And it's very sad that happens. Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1921, Greenwood, right? Tulsa had a prosperous black community called the Greenwood District, popularly remembered as Black Wall Street. There were black-owned businesses, professionals, churches, schools, and homes. This is very important because it challenges another historical stereotype. Black Americans were building wealth and institutions even under the Jim Crow. I think what Jim Crow started after that North Carolina massacre in the late 1800s, maybe right before Jim Crow started, right? So, a young black man named Dick Rowland had an encounter with a young white woman named Sarah Page in an elevator. Exactly what, right? Rumors spread that Rowland had assaulted her. He was arrested. Black residents feared he might be lynched. Armed black men, including veterans, eventually came to the courthouse. White men were also gathering. A confrontation occurred and a shot, think about it, a single shot was fired, right? During May 31st and June 1st of 1921, white mobs attacked Greenwood. Homes and businesses were looted and burned. The official Oklahoma commissioner found credible evidence that the death toll may have been somewhere between 100 and 300 people. Approximately 1,256 homes were destroyed, along with churches, schools, businesses, hospitals, and libraries. Thousands of black residents were displaced. Right? Tulsa race massacre. That's what it was. You know what I mean? The older historical terminology often called it a riot, but it was a massacre. Better reflects how the event is now commonly destroyed, right? So, what happened to generational wealth when somebody's home, businesses, entire neighborhoods are destroyed, huh? Wealth isn't only the money someone has today. House can be passed to children. Business can be passed to children. Property appreciates. Business creates employment, right? So, just like I said earlier, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. You see what I'm saying? So again, where was the federal government during all this time, right? The federal government allowed this to happen to black folks. And I used to always say, right, when I hear about these stories, right? Imagine if these white folks, right, we're gonna leave black people alone, letting them do the thing. Cause back then, even now, black folk, we don't bother no damn body. We just wanna be left alone, man. Right? Let us work hard, pay our taxes, raise our damn family. Just leave us alone. Right? But it seems like white people are just obsessed with black people. I don't know why they're so obsessed with black people, with people that don't look like them. I don't know why. When other people are, we're not studying them. You know what I mean? We have our own issues going on. You know what I mean? I just don't get it. And the federal government didn't do nothing about it. They let it happen. You know what I mean? Another one. And some of these stories, I know some of y'all already know this, right? Rosewood, Florida. Rosewood was a predominantly black community in Levy County, Florida. In January 1923, the community was destroyed due to racial violence. A white woman, again, white woman, in nearby Summer reported that she had been attacked by a black man. A white mob began searching for a suspect. The violence eventually reached Rosewood. Right? Black residents were attacked. Homes and other buildings were burned. Residents fled into the woods and escaped the area. Some black residents also defended themselves with weapons. The entire community was essentially destroyed and abandoned. Right? So for decades, survivors rarely discussed what happened. Eventually, survivors and descendants sought recognition and compensation. In 1994, Florida passed legislation providing compensation related to Rosewood and establishing educational opportunities for descendants, right? So, look at the pattern. Wilmington, black political power. Tulsa, black economic power. Rosewood, a black community destroyed. Pattern. These were different events with different causes, right? Right? But collectively, they demonstrate the vulnerability of black communities during an era when racial violence could occur with little accountability, right? Nobody was accountable for all those actions. You know what I mean? Federal government didn't do nothing, right? So, like I said again, not everything that is faced can be changed. Everything you face, right, that you face can be changed. But nothing can be changed until it is faced, right? You know what I'm saying? Which means, right, when something's going on, man, you got to face it head on. You got to talk about it. Let's figure out all the way that we can fix it. You know what I mean? That we can fix it. Man. Oh, man, I'm so passionate about this topic right here. Oh, man. Let's talk about another one real quick. The civil rights struggle, 1950s through the 1980s, right? In 1954, the Supreme Court decided Brown v. Board of Education, ruling state-sponsored racial segregation in public schools unconstitutional. Then came the Montgomery bus boycott after Rosa Parks' arrest in 1955. Martin Luther King became one of the movement's most prominent national leaders. But remember, the movement was much larger than King. There were local organizers, students, churches, women, activists, and ordinary people risking their jobs and lives, man. The 60s, right? You get that, then get the sit-in movement, Freedom Rides, Birmingham demonstration, the 1963 March on Washington, Freedom Summer, Selma, and countless local campaigns that received much less national attention, right? The Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibited discrimination in major areas of public life and employment. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 attacked racial barriers that had prevented black citizens from exercising the right to vote. They're doing it right now, right? Especially with the Pass the Save Act. You're screwed. The Fair Housing Act of 1968 prohibited specified forms of housing discrimination, right? During the 70s and the 80s, debates continued over school integration, busing affirmative action, housing employment, policy, and political representation. For his historical position, described the 1950s and the 60s as the classic civil rights, right? civil rights movement, followed by a continuous civil rights struggle in the 70s and 80s, right? So, here's the song again. All right, let me say the quote again. Right? Nothing, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. So guess what though? The damn civil rights people, when they did all those activism, right? When they did all those stuff, if they did not march on Washington, if they did not go to Selma, if they did not do all those great things that they did, will we have the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the 1965 Voting Rights Act? You know what I'm saying? Black people, not only black people too, man. We gotta give the white folks credit too, because they was there too. We gotta give the Chinese, the Asians, that was there credit too, man. Not only, because black people, no matter how much we do things, right, we cannot do things alone in America. We need allies. We do, you know what I mean? And those good white folks, man. Shoot, I remember Julia Roberts said something one time that her parents used to march with MLK. And her parents one time was broke. MLK, Martin Luther King, gave her parents money to help her out. You see what I'm saying? Julia Roberts said that, right? Big time actress, Julia Roberts. You know what I mean? So imagine if they didn't face what was going on, right? Back in the slavery days, when they had abolitionists and they're trying to get somebody saved to escape, right? Imagine if they didn't do that. You know what I mean? Because everybody knew what was going on. Imagine if they did not do that. They faced it. You know what I mean? Really, they get a lot of consequences back then, but they faced it and change happened over time. Yeah, things takes time and things do move slow, but things happen over time, man. You understand me, right? So when there's something that's going on and you don't like it, talk about it, discuss it. Whether people like it or not, who cares? Speak about it. Because if you keep your mouth shut, things will always stay the same. Even if you're on the damn job and certain thing is wrong. God, I told them I used to talk about that all the time, respectfully though, but I did it. And certain things is wrong, right? You gotta discuss it, man. Because if you don't face it, things are gonna stay the same and nothing will change. And that's my time. Thank you for tuning in to Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned in to Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.